Let's just commit our time to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for your goodness and mercy that finds us here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for thy grace. And we pray, Lord, tonight that as we would come to this special gospel service, Lord, you'd be pleased to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, move amongst us. And Lord, that this night we might know that God is here and that to bless us. Come, Lord, work in us, work through us this evening. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless in everything that is said and done. Help us, Lord, as now we would sing thy praise and worship thy great name. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Hymn 383, the words will be on the screen. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Seated. Well, let's seek God's face again in another word of prayer. Let's pray for his help and for his presence with us tonight. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee this evening for that wonderful love of the Savior. We thank the Lord for the love that drew salvation's plan. We thank thee, O God, tonight for the grace that brought it down to man. And Lord, how we rejoice tonight for that mighty gulf that God did span there at Calvary. And Heavenly Father, we look around us tonight, and Lord, there are so little by way of love, human love, but O God, we thank thee for the greatest love, the love of God when he gave his Son to be our Savior. We thank thee, O Lord, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that the Son was willing. The Son left the splendors of heaven, came into this world of sin, and he became man, he became as we are. Lord, we thank thee that there on the cross he died, that all-atoning life for us. Heavenly Father, we rejoice this evening in your goodness and in your mercy toward us. Lord, we thank thee tonight for all that you've done for us. Lord, we rejoice this evening in all of the goodness of God. Lord, we have been blessed beyond measure already this day. You've given us health and strength. Lord, you've given us, Lord, journeying mercies to the house of God. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee most of all that for those that are saved, you've given us a song in our hearts. We thank the Lord this evening for those that know thee as their Savior. We have a song, Lord, this world knows nothing about. We have a peace, Lord, this world cannot disturb. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might all know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Lord, through good times and through hard times, through difficult times in our lives, Lord, we thank Thee that we can still know that peace. And our Father, we pray that even this evening, as our brother Derek would come and relate to us of his testimony, and Lord, we thank Thee for him. We pray, Lord, You'd encourage him, bless him richly amongst us tonight. Lord, we pray that he might know great help and great liberty, Lord, as he would relate to us his testimony this evening. And Lord, we pray that someone in this meeting, Lord, that they will hear those wonderful words of the Savior to come. Lord, that they might come and know Derek's Savior too. Lord, that they will come and put their faith and trust in Him. And Lord, that they'll be able to say that no matter what may come, it is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, give help in this meeting tonight. Help us as we would sing Thy praise. Help us, Lord, especially. Lord, as we listen to the word of testimony, give us that attentive ear. And bless Thy servant this evening. Lord, use him amongst us, we pray, and speak to hearts. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night, Lord, that someone in this place will be taken out of the darkness of their sin and brought into the light and the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray that You'll bless the going forth of the Word of God, not only here, but across our land tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray for that move of God. We pray, Lord, for every faithful servant of the cross. Lord, be with them this evening. Lord, give them help, Lord, as they would seek to declare the whole counsel of God and tell men and women of a Savior who saves from sin, a Savior who satisfies. And we pray, Lord, that tonight there may be signs to follow the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Still be with us tonight, we pray. Bless across our land, remember across our nation at this time. We ask, O God, that You be pleased to turn our land back to God. O God, we have to acknowledge, Lord, we've wandered from Thee. Lord, we have left off our first love. But, O God, we pray that You might restore those years that the locusts have eaten. And, Heavenly Father, we pray that You be pleased to come and revive us once again. Lord, in Thy wrath, remember mercy. And, Lord, be pleased to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, we ask. So be with us now. Help us, aid us in this time, we ask. And, Lord, we pray that this night we might leave on our way, knowing that the Lord has been amongst us. We've heard the voice of God. And Lord, knowing that someone has come to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. So answer prayer. Be with us now and give us help. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this stage, I want to welcome you all along to our evening service. We want to thank you very much for coming and for your attendance here at the gospel service tonight, and for the special family service. We welcome you all in the Savior's great and worthy name. Thank you for being with us this evening. For those who are visiting with us, we welcome you in a very special way. We're glad to see you tonight. We pray the Lord will particularly bless and be near to you. I want to welcome especially to our congregation, our brother Derek Preston. We're glad to have him this evening. Looking forward to hearing from him. Pray the Lord will be with him and give him help as he comes to relate to us in just a moment's time of how God helped him and how God has been good to him even through hard and difficult times. Derek, you're very welcome. I pray the Lord will bless you as you come and speak to us. Just a few announcements that I want to bring before you. First of all, we want to send our congratulations to young Billy and young Anne. You've reached that old grand milestone of 50 years married. I don't know which of you deserves the medal, but anyway, congratulations to you both, and pray the Lord continues to bless you and your family. Let's remember on Tuesday night we have our Explorers Bible Club here in the church for the boys and girls, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Then on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock we have our Bible study and time of prayer. This Thursday night it will take also the form of our communion service, the Lord's table. So remember that please on Thursday night. Friday night, youth fellowship, we'll meet here in the church. We encourage all our young people, join with us on Friday night please for the youth fellowship. Then on next Sunday, we start off with Sunday school, Bible class at 10:15. Then our morning worship service at 11:30. As we said this morning, we're going to look at the subject of church on the sofa or church in the sanctuary. Does it really make any difference where you worship God? Can you worship Him on the sofa, or is it in the house of God? And we're going to look at that subject of public worship next Lord's Day morning. And then we have our Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30 in the afternoon, our gospel service at 6:30 next Sunday evening. Our sister Ruth McRoberts will be here to sing in the will of the Lord. I want to thank you for your giving to the Lord's work over recent days. The Missionary Council offering last Sunday came to a total of £302. Thank you for that. And then we also are very appreciative to you for your giving to the minibus offering over the past number of weeks. That came to a total of £6,470.90. And want to thank you for your support of the purchase of the new church minibus. Thank you for your giving so generously to God's work. We would ask you to remember the Reverend and Mrs. Patterson, Malcolm Patterson, as this Thursday they take their leave here of the homeland and they go back to the land of Kenya. And pray the Lord will be with them, give them help as they settle back in to the work of God. It's been some time now since they've been able to get back to Kenya, and do pray for them that the Lord will be with them, the Lord will help them as they leave on Thursday and go back to the mission field. The missionary boxes are due in this month. If you have a missionary box at home, if you could bring it in, please, either to William or to Richard as soon as possible. Then we ask you to remember our brother Philip. Philip Knowles, this is his last Lord's Day preaching in Lewis, and he'll be going very soon to take up the work of God in South Grove in Walthamstow in North London. And so do remember Philip and Valentina and Joshua and Josiah and Jessica. The Lord will bless them and be with them. Do remember especially his ordination service in London on Thursday night, the 28th of October. For our elders, can I remind you, we have a meeting on Tuesday, the 9th of November at 8 p.m. Then do remember our shoebox appeal. Our brother, Reverend Ronnie McCracken, was here a few weeks ago to launch that shoebox appeal. The details are here, and if you haven't got a copy of this little leaflet yet, please get one. And we encourage you to help in any way that you can, as many shoeboxes as you can fill. We'd love to get as much support for our brother Ronnie as he will, God willing, go back out to Portugal and take those shoeboxes to the children, to the adults out there. So remember that, please, and pass it on to others. Pass it on to your friends, your family members, and ensure that others can help as well. And if you could bring them into the church here by Sunday the 21st of November. I have a letter that I want to read out to you, or a note I want to read out to you from the McIntyre family. It says, "Dear Reverend Wilson, on behalf of the McIntyre family circle, I'd like to personally thank yourself for conducting my Auntie Sheila's service of thanksgiving in your pastoral care to the family over the last few weeks. I would also like to thank the congregation of Sandown Free Presbyterian for the cards, the telephone calls, the messages of sympathy, and to all those who called at the family home. My Auntie Sheila has been suffering ill health in recent years, but her sudden home call came as a shock to the family circle. This was the third death in the family this year. And the family are deeply comforted that Sheila and her other family members are all face to face with their Lord and Savior. Your prayers for our family are much appreciated at this sad and difficult time. Safe in the arms of Jesus." And that's from Sheila's niece Jill on behalf of Sheila's sisters Valerie, June and Iris, and the entire McIntyre family. So please do continue to remember those who mourn. Pray the Lord will comfort them and give them strength at this time. I think these are all by way of announcements, and they are, as always, made subject to the will of the Lord. We have no singer this evening. I was going to ask Derek if he would sing. Derek does sing. Do you still sing in the group? You do? Well, you missed that one. Gillian, Derek? We'll have to get the Kingdom Heirs back. I don't think he's been here for a while. Anyway, we'll not ask, we'll not put that on you just now. But we'll sing ourselves, we'll sing all together. And we're going to sing our second hymn just now. "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm." Again, we'll stand as we sing this hymn, please.
My
Well, as we've said, we are delighted this evening to welcome to our family service our brother Derek. We pray the Lord will bless him richly as he comes and reads to us his testimony. Derek, you feel much at home amongst us tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you as you come now and testify. Thank you.
Well, it's lovely to be along tonight and to tell you what God has done in my life. What he's done in my life, he can do for you too tonight. There's not anybody in the meeting that cannot be touched by God tonight. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. God can touch you and can save you. Praise the Lord. I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles, first of all, to his word in Psalm 27. I love to read the Psalms. Psalm 27, we're going to read some verses 1 to 5, and then verses 11 to 14, please. It says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Just down to verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." This psalm has been special to so many people through their Christian walk, their Christian life. David here has penned this psalm during one of those troubled times that was in his life. During these times, I believe David has left us with a guide as to how we ought to face troubles when they come our way. David was confident. He had a confidence in God, which led him to believe that he had nothing or no one to fear. What an example. He could say that God was his light, his salvation, and his strength. And these combined led David to believe that he knew the peace and the presence of God in his life. We could say that David had a grateful heart. He had a thankful heart. He later says in Psalm 138, he was able to say, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever." Tonight, as believers, we can thank God for all that he has done for us, for those that know and love him as Savior. We can praise him for the future as well, not just what he has done, but what he's going to do for us. God makes no mistakes, and that's sometimes hard to understand. His plan of salvation, it was perfect. He has taken the punishment of my sin. He's taken the punishment of your sin upon him there at the cross. If we were to stop and think for a minute what we truly deserve if God hadn't have taken that sin upon his son at the cross, if we really got what we deserve, you know, we'd be lost tonight. And surely as believers, that eternal hope that we have should make us truly praise the Lord with all of our hearts. You know, there's no room for just part of praise for God for what he's done for us. We need to praise God for everything that he has done for us. Do you know, tonight as I look back on the day of my salvation, I first and foremostly want to glorify God. If I was never to stand up here and say anything, it's all about God. Forget about me standing up here, because I don't feel particularly comfortable in the first place. There's things that I might stumble upon. But there's one thing I can say: God has saved me, and I praise him for that. And I want to give him the glory just for the opportunity even to praise his name in such a way. It's lovely to be back here in Sandown. It's quite a few years from I've been here with the boys singing. And it's nice to look down and see some faces that I know. I thank our brother for the invitation along. And as he has said, my name is Derek Preston. You'll not believe this next statistic. I was born in 1973. I know some of you down there think you wish you were born in 73. But I was born into what I would call a good home. It wasn't a Christian home, but it was a good home. And I had parents that cared for me. I had parents that loved me. And they disciplined me also. Something that, you know, I look back on and I thank God for that. For parents like that. I thank God for all that they have done for me. And I'm sure many sitting down tonight can look back and praise God for the parents that he gave to you. I can honestly say as children growing up, we wanted for nothing. I had three brothers and a sister, and we had need of nothing. Even though we lived in a place called Mullet Glass. I was thinking of Mullet Glass just today. Mullet Glass didn't even have as much as a shop in it. There was nothing in Mullet Glass. But you know, it was where we were brought up, and it was happy times that I remember there. Our young lives revolved around that small place. We went to school there, we lived there, and of course we went along to church there in the local Free Presbyterian Church. As a small child, I think my earliest recollections is of a neighbour collecting me and my brother. And I remember well, he used to go around the couple of parks that were there, and he gathered up the children into his car. And he brought us along to a children's meeting just down the Newry Road. I was probably only about 4 years old, but I remember well sitting in the wee wooden hall there and being taught from the Word of God, been taught from the Bible, learning the courses. And I would say for me, that was my earliest recollections of hearing anything of the Bible, learning the things of God at that young, tender age. I have to say my mother was very faithful in sending myself and my brother along to Sunday school and to church in Mullet Glass. I remember well, I used to hate it. I often wonder, you know, if that seed had never been planted in my heart, where would my life have went to? What course it would have taken? But, you know, as I look down at many tonight, I don't know that many faces here, but I wonder, do you remember a time in your life whenever perhaps you were sent along to Sunday school? Maybe it was a time that you despised. Maybe you didn't enjoy going to Sunday school, but there you were taught from God's word. Perhaps, maybe you're only visiting tonight, but perhaps those verses can come to your mind that you were taught as a little child. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend in the meeting tonight, God is gracious and he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. But I want to ask you a question, just where you sit tonight. What have you done with the opportunities that God has given you to hear his word? Those opportunities that he has given to you to put your trust in him. I wonder tonight, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or tonight, does it find you having no time? Have you no time for him in your life? Are you so busy? I pray tonight that if God speaks to you, that you won't leave this place without repenting of your sin, that you'll put it right before it's too late. Well, life for me in Mullet Glass came to an end at about the age of 8. As a family, we had to move home, and we moved to what was the Big Smoke in Tandragee. Wasn't that many miles away, probably in today's terms, but back then it seemed like an awful distance away, leaving family, leaving friends, leaving school, leaving church, all those things that you become quite comfortable with, we had to leave. It was quite a change to our young lives, but it wasn't long until we were into the school and we made new friends and life. We settled in quite well in Tandragee there. And I remember well, it wasn't long before we started to get invited to meetings. I recall well on a Monday afternoon, we used to love getting home from school, and we went to a lady's house just up the park from us. Herself and three other ladies held a Good News Club in their homes, and I remember them gathering in all the children from the park, and the living room was packed. You couldn't have got your knees stretched out or anything else, but they were faithful ladies that I'm thankful to God for also. But again, we were taught from God's word. We learned all those wee courses, you know, how you can get to heaven, how that sin is in our lives, and we can only get to heaven by putting our trust and asking forgiveness of sins. And I remember well those meetings with joy in my heart. And it wasn't long. There were several people lived around us then. And I don't know whether it's a free pea thing or not, but it wasn't long until some of those neighbours started to invite us to Tandagee Free Presbyterian Church and the services there. And again, my mother saw fit to answer those invitations with a big yes, and it was her way of getting us back out to Sunday school and to church again. And it became the normal routine in our lives. Suppose everything I've said today, it's a nice history lesson. It's a wee bit about myself, but what I've come here today to tell you is about what God has done for me. And I want to tell you about the day that I accepted him as my saviour. That's why I'm here. When I look back to that day that I became a believer, it fills me with thankfulness. Where would I have been if God hadn't saved me as a child? I wonder. I know that my life would have been filled with emptiness if I hadn't accepted him. But you know, to have a testimony, each one of us here tonight, if you're saved, you must be able to look back to a day, not necessarily a date, but you should be able to look back to a day, a time and a place whenever you accepted Jesus Christ as your saviour. Every true conversion to Christ, right throughout the Bible that we read about, right up until this day, has them three elements in them. It's so important that you remember the day, the time and the place that you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not good enough to think that you're saved tonight. Perhaps you have sat for years and you can't look back to a time whenever you actually asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You know, friend, it's not good enough to think that you're saved. It's not good enough to think that you're ready for heaven. You need to have that question settled in your heart tonight. Make sure that you are saved. Young people, don't be putting off salvation just because perhaps you made an empty profession when you were a little child. You look back to that day, and if there hasn't been a change in your life, I would ask you to question your heart. Are you truly saved? Well, I've been sent along to Sunday school, to church, and it was Sunday the 12th of December, 1982, and I would say there was nothing different about that morning. We all got up and got dressed and were sent along to Sunday school and to church. I don't remember anything about the Sunday school. I suppose I wasn't very good at sitting. Some Sunday school teachers might say a lot about me on that front, but I don't remember anything about the Sunday school. But you know, remember well the morning service. I know many of you will remember the late Reverend Austin Allen, and he was preaching in Tandragee back then. And I was only a boy, remember, 9 years old, and sometimes we think of children sitting in the pew on a Sunday morning, you think things go over their head. Well, I wasn't an intellect by any imagination, but I could listen to what God was speaking into my heart that morning. I remember well that he was preaching on the book of Revelations. I remember vividly that morning that he spoke about hell. I can't give you the points of his sermon or the title of it. But what I do know is that morning I was confronted again with my sin and where I was heading because of my sin. Any thought that I could live my life the way I wanted to was completely wiped out. And I realized that if ever I wanted to be in heaven, I had to come as a sinner to the foot of the cross and ask Jesus Christ into my heart. What I do remember about Mr. Allen speaking about that morning was the Lamb's Book of Life. I still vividly remember him speaking about the Lamb's Book of Life. It's found there in Revelation 21 and verse 8, and it tells us of those names that will not be found therein in the verse 8. And then in the verse 27 it says this, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, that's heaven, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That great book has a record of each believer who truly repented of their sin and sought forgiveness. There's no other way for your name to be in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. If ever you are to go to heaven, your name needs to be in it. It needs to be written there. And tonight, your pastor doesn't know, your elders don't know. It's between you and God. Nobody knows except you. I pray tonight that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I remember that afternoon, I went home from church, and that afternoon I was sitting up in my bedroom, and I remember God continuing to speak into my heart and reminding me of what had been spoken about that morning. I was only a boy. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know much of the Bible. I certainly couldn't pray with any eloquence. But I knew that I needed to put it right with God. I knew that I needed to be saved that day, that it's something that I couldn't put off. Tonight, vividness of that afternoon is etched on my mind. I'll never forget the time, the day, or the place that I got saved. I was only a 9-year-old boy, but I thank God that he answered my prayer. Because there in my own bedroom, by myself, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to take away my sin, to make me right for heaven. There wasn't any big clap of thunder. There was nothing like that. I know some people may go through experiences like that, but there was nothing like that. But what I can tell you is I spoke with God, and God gave me assurance that day that I was saved. As a 9-year-old boy, I hadn't had many opportunities, but I knew the opportunity that I was given that day was one that I had to accept. Salvation, what is it? Well, it brings us into a personal relationship with God. That's what salvation does to us. It's amazing how that we are unworthy, and yet we're made worthy through the blood of Jesus' Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Jesus Christ. The relationship that I have with God has been with me from that day. It'll take me through this life, but praise God, it'll take me into another life, an eternal home in heaven with him, where I'll glorify him for all that he's done for me on this earth. I wonder tonight, do you feel that you're not good enough to become a Christian? I wonder, is that what is holding you back? Do you feel that you're not good enough to become a Christian? Friend, I have good news. That's the starting point. God's word reminds us none of us are good. It says there in Psalm 53:3, every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The sin problem that was in my life, that's in your life, it was in us the day we were born. It's not something that just came in one day. It was with us the very day we were born because of Adam. But tonight God can save you from it. No matter what sin that you think is too big for him to save you from, I have good news, it's not. God's love, God's forgiveness is greater than any sin that you have. It says in Psalm 103:12, it's a verse that amazes me every time I read it. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Tonight, friend, that's good news. No matter what the sin is that you think will hold you back from God, God has the power to forget about it. He can forgive and he can forget. Thank God he's not like us. My sins tonight, they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight you can have that assurance too if you only put your trust in him. Unfortunately, I can't say that I always lived a perfect Christian life. I dare say most of us in the meeting will say we've fallen short many times. You know, I'm thankful to God that he never gives up on us. I remember well, at the age of 16, I went with a youth fellowship down to the Martyrs, to one of the Friday night youth convention at Easter. And I remember that night God really spoke into my heart. I knew that I was living a life where I wanted to please my friends. I had desires that perhaps going into the world, I had never given my life, fully surrendered my life over to God. Although I was saved, I wasn't living for him. And I remember well that night, placing my life into God's hand. And I prayed to him, you know, just to give me something to do for him. Christian tonight in the meeting, we're not saved just to warm a pew on a Sunday. If you're saved tonight, God has a work for you to do. If you had said to me a couple of years ago, you'll be invited to give your testimony, you know what? I would have laughed at you. I would have laughed in your face. You know, if you give your life completely over to him, it's wonderful what God can do with you if you'll only let him. I remember it wasn't long after that, our brothers referred to the group singing, and that was 27, 28 years ago nearly now. We were only young boys back then. But, you know, God gave us so many opportunities to serve him in different capacities. I remember well even helping out in the church there in Tanagee with the youth fellowship, with a great youth leader who encouraged us to take part at care homes, residential homes, and to even help maybe in the youth fellowship. And, you know, God has been so good to me. I could say tonight I could go on for hours if I was to tell you how good he's been to me through my work, my employment, through friendships, through many, many things. But tonight I will publicly thank him for my wife, Alison. I thank God for my wife, for all that she does for me and all that she means to me. And I thank God for the children that he's given to us, Mark, Joanna and Sarah. And, you know, as a father, there's no greater joy as to know that your children are saved and that they're bound for heaven as well, and pray God will keep them. But, you know, as I look down over this meeting tonight, I'm sure there are a lot of people with the hidden problems and difficulties that life throw at each one of us at some stage. We're always come across those troubles we're faced with, and perhaps the faces that I look down at tonight don't fully tell the story behind your life. And sadly, that's not unique in this world. Sure, it's not. It's the reality of life. We all go through the problems, the difficulties and the trials that life throws at us. And if we're saved tonight, we can thank God that we don't go through them alone. In the last years, I've often wondered how people go through life without Christ whenever troubles come. I wonder, has God been good to you? Have you not really had a problem, a trouble that you would say has been life-changing for you? Have you ever thought to thank God for that? I thank God tonight that if you're saved, we don't go through these troubles alone. Sometimes it's hard to see the reasoning on things, but I can testify tonight that we don't go through problems alone. Jesus knows us, he cares us, he knows about every part of us. And friend, tonight that makes a difference. I read a quote once, and it said that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. When those times of trouble come in to our lives as Christians as well, it's important that we don't turn away from God. It's important we don't grow cold in our faith and perhaps blame God whenever our faith gets tested. It can be difficult to understand why God allows us to go through these situations. My experience is it's important that when these trials come that we have a close relationship with God. It's important that we're walking with God. It's important that we're not in a backslidden state. Perhaps that's maybe where you are tonight. Perhaps there's been a time wherever you did accept Christ as your Savior, but something has come into your life and you blame God on it. I would ask you tonight to turn to him because he loves you. He cares for you. He has a perfect plan for your life and mine. It says in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, it says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." Friend, tonight, God's ways are perfect. Isn't that amazing? There are no mistakes in them. They're perfect. Even though they seem peculiar to us, his ways are perfect, even when they're painful ones. In September 2017, my faith was tested in a way that I had never been prepared for. I don't know about you, but whenever problems come, they always seem to come out of the blue. You never seem to expect them, sure you don't. That's the way it was for me in September 2017. Looking back, early September of 17, my life was good. As I reflect, I'd say that I was thankful to God for the blessings that he had given me. I was thankful for the opportunities that he was given me to serve him. At this stage, I was a deacon in the church there in Sainfield, and I was leading the youth fellowship. And I would say that my time outside of work was pretty much taken up with doing things for God. And I would say I was enjoying it too. I never deny that. I was enjoying the work of God that he had put me in, and the blessings that come from being involved in his work. Well, on the morning of Sunday, the 10th of September, my family got up as normal. And you know what it's like in a home if you've got young children, getting the breakfast into them. And then we lived some way from Sainfield, a couple of miles away. And it was always my job on a Sunday morning after Alison got the children dressed for Sunday school that I nipped them down to Sunday school and I came back up the road to prepare myself for church. But I remember well that morning I was putting my top button in on my shirt when I noticed a lump on the side of the left-hand side of my neck. It was something that I had never seen before. I remember just mentioning it in passing to Alison. It wasn't something I was particularly worried about, but there's a bit of a theme probably in the next couple of points in my testimony. I remember well Alison saying to me, Derek, I think maybe you'd be better getting that looked at by a GP. I don't understand why women are so wise. This brother over here, who's been married 50 years, will vouch for that. I had no symptoms. I had nothing to indicate that I was unwell at all. There was nothing, as far as I was concerned, wrong with me. And so that Sunday we went to church, and I would have to say I had no worries or concerns about it. And the Monday morning, got up, went to work as normal. And during that morning, I thought, well, I better do as I'm told. And I made an appointment to see the doctor. The Monday night, I'd played football for years on a Monday night. And loved to do it. And I went out that Monday night and played football. And I can honestly say I felt so, so well. The Wednesday came, and I went to see the doctor after work. And it was after a pretty quick examination that the doctor had felt that it would maybe need a wee bit more investigation. And so she wrote me a referral letter there and then, and I went down to the Ulster Clinic to get an ultrasound scan, as what she said it was required. I recall the consultant telling me that the lump that was on my neck was probably going to need some more treatment, but there was nothing more than that. That's all he said, that it was going to need more investigation, more treatment. And so I went home. And to be honest with you, again, I didn't take too much worry from it. Went home and I told Alison, gave her the full information. And I must add at this point that Alison is a radiographer. Whether unknown to me, probably she had her own thoughts and potentials of what it might be diagnosed. But she certainly didn't tell me anything of them. I'm thankful for that in those early stages. I went to work on the Thursday and came home. Only for Alison to tell me that a friend who she had worked with in the city hospital, a Christian girl, had phoned and said that I had been red flagged for a CT scan on the Friday. I remember thinking, how am I going to fit this all in? That Friday was the day that I had planned on taking our young people from the church away for the youth weekend. I was supposed to pick them up at the church at 6:30 in the bus. And I think, if I'm right in saying, my appointment was for somewhere around 4 p.m. And so, well, I went, what else could I do? Went and got the CT scan and come home, got a quick turnaround, took the young people away. Well, suppose if I'm totally honest at this stage, I did begin to have fears. I did digest some of the information that I was receiving regarding the swelling. And suppose in those early days, I don't know. I know some people who love to Google everything and everybody's a doctor nowadays. Well, I had determined in my heart that I was not going to start looking up Google and find out the potential diagnosis. But what I will say is, I remember asking God why. I remember asking him, why me, God? You know, I felt that my life was fully given to him. Why me? And looking back at it, it was a real thing that it weighed heavy on me. But, you know, it wasn't that long until I realised the answer. Well, why not me? Why should it not be me who is ill? Why should it not be me that's going to go through a trial whenever there's so many people in the world go through trials without Christ? I remember thinking that evening as I took the young people away that I couldn't possibly take them away. The whole thing began to weigh heavy on me. But, you know, God's plans are perfect. We've talked about that already. He has a perfect plan for us. I remember going on that youth weekend. It was tough. I remember Alison and myself had three children at this stage going to youth fellowship, and we couldn't share anything of it. We couldn't share any of our fears or concerns with family. But, you know, as Christians, it's remarkable how God puts the right people in the right place for the right time in your life. And I remember well, there was two couples coming away with us on that weekend, and you know, they were such a source of strength and encouragement to us, and we got through it. And I thank God for that youth weekend. We had a remarkable youth weekend, and God was fully in control of it. Well, life continued for us, and I would say, I suppose, with a cloud hanging over us. October of 17 meant surgery, more scans, and then the definitive results of all that had happened before. I would have to say at this point, all this time, God had been so good to us. There was never a time that I went to an appointment, a scan, operation, whatever it was, that God didn't give us his peace. He didn't give, it wasn't once that he gave us a word from himself, but numerous times through his word, he spoke into our lives, and we're thankful for God's word. I thank God for the interventions that I could never have possibly have made happen. There was times where appointments were brought forward, and I don't understand why, but God understands, and I thank God for that. And so in October of 17, I was diagnosed with cancer, with lymphoma, and if I'm honest with you tonight, my world fell apart. There's no other way of saying that. It was something that I wasn't expecting, and all those questions about life, about my future, about Alison's future and the children, well, they all came flooding in. I remember a few days after being given the news, I remember being reminded of a chorus, one that I hadn't heard in so many years. You'll know it probably. It says, "I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs there are, but one stands near who fully knows. I'll trust his loving care. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. And so, as I face tomorrow with his problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all." To say that reading God's word and remembering these choruses that life was wonderful would be a lie. It wasn't easy. But knowing that the path that I was on was one which God had planned just for me, you know, gave me a source of encouragement. It gave me a source of peace. And I commenced then chemotherapy in December of that year. And God sustained and gave me help through those following months. I had to come to that point where I left everything over to God. My future, everything, the blessings that he had given me in life were all given over to him. Looking back now, I can thank God for those 9 months there where I didn't and couldn't work. Those were precious times, were happy times, times that I had never experienced in my life, when I was able to come aside and talk to God, read his word. You know, whenever we are in the throes of work and life, family life, sometimes we just fit God in around everything that we're doing. Well, during this time, I'd have to say it was precious time with God, and I thank him for it. You know, in Scripture, there are many metaphors that resemble pain and suffering. And suppose whenever I think of that, I think of Daniel. I think of the furnace. And no one, I'm sure, in this meeting tonight would ever put their hand up for a spell in the furnace. No one would volunteer for it. But you know, whenever God permits such things to happen in our lives, we receive benefits that we would never otherwise ever experience. Living the comfortable run of the mill life, I don't know about you, but it's very appealing. It's very appealing indeed. But you know, whenever we're in that furnace, we are tested like never before. Our faith gets tested. It tests the genuineness of our faith. There's times where I had to question, am I living for God? Am I truly saved? And I'm thankful through God's word. God never leaves us. He never ever leaves us, even through those times when we doubt. The furnace we experience in life, it will try us. And in order to refine us, sometimes we have to spend that time in the furnace. But you know, there's always a purpose in the furnace. We just don't get thrown into a furnace just for the sake of it. There's a reason. There's a reason behind the problems that you're going through in your life. The furnace is used to make us stronger. You think of something that goes in dull, maybe brittle, into that furnace, and it comes out beautiful and strong. Well, I believe we all go through those times in the furnace to refine us, to make us useful for God. And I'm thankful to God through this time that through his love and his mercy, he brought me through the treatment. And I praise God tonight that, as far as I'm concerned, I'm in remission of my cancer, and I'm thankful to God that he has sustained us and my family. I suppose when I'm talking about furnace, there's one more thing to remember, and it's a very important thing, particularly whenever you're in it. You know, God has the control on the temperature and the time clock. We're not going to be in that furnace any longer than God wants us to be in it. and allows us to be in it. If you find yourself in that furnace tonight, hold on to God, because he knows all about you. God's faithful. I can say that my recovery was good. I got back to work again, and I praise God for all of his goodness and faithfulness to us as a family. There's much more I could say about that time in my life, but I can look back and say, praise be to God for all that he has done for me. Well, I suppose moving up to, a wee bit more up to date, everyone here is aware of coronavirus nowadays. That's why we sit with masks on us and we sit apart, and life just doesn't seem the way it used to be. And I believe that it was the 27th of February of last year that Northern Ireland reported its first case of coronavirus. And I'm sure, like many of you, I started to take those precautions early on that we were advised to do, and washing our hands and keeping our distance and all the rest of it. And I remember at work, working away, and they started to implement these things, and it did change the way we lived, there's no doubt about that. And I remember, because of my immune system being suppressed, that I was advised to shield, and I went off work that April, and I did think to myself, well, there's lots of things that I'll hopefully get done around the house and be able to spend time with my family again. And I was, to be honest with you, I was quite pleased at the prospect of it. But unfortunately, at the beginning of April, I began to feel slightly unwell. Nothing that I would say stopped me from getting out and footing about at home. But as the week went on, things progressed and I felt much worse. Began to get the fevers and the shivers. And perhaps somebody in the meeting has already experienced these things, the loss of appetite, etc. But I suppose I just thought it was just a flu. I was feeling unwell. But by the end of the week, Alison thought that it was best to get checked out, the wise women again. And I remember well Alison taking me down to the Ulster Hospital that Friday night later on. And it was the early stages of the pandemic. I remember going in and seeing a doctor that took an x-ray off me in the chest, etc., and didn't see anything untoward, took bloods. And I was sent home in those early stages. You weren't even checked or anything else with testing as regarding it. And I remember well the doctor gave me good news. He says, just you go home and take paracetamol and hopefully you'll be feeling all right. And I could have shook his hand. I was happy with that. I didn't want to be in the hospital any longer than I had to be. Unfortunately, by the 7th of April, I began to experience severe breathing difficulties. The temperatures I'd never experienced before in my life, and they stayed constant, and I did begin to feel very unwell. And I remember well lying on the bed that night. It was midnight on the Monday night, and I remember Alison saying, will you not let me phone the out-of-hours doctor for you? And sometimes I can put a bit of thran, and I didn't want her. I said, no, just give me another paracetamol or two, I'll be all right. I'm thankful that night that Alison didn't listen to me. She went ahead and she phoned the GP, and it was then that the GP had told Alison to get me to the hospital. And I remember that night going down in the car and feeling worst I've ever felt in my life, I believe. I remember Alison dropping me off at the door, and at that point I didn't think it would be 5 weeks that would pass before I would see Alison or the children again. Sometimes we don't appreciate the blessings God gives to us until they're gone. Well, I was admitted into the Ulster Hospital, and I'd spent a week, the first week in the COVID ward there. But unfortunately for me, I didn't make any improvement. If anything, I deteriorated quite quickly, to the point that I was able to do nothing for myself. I couldn't breathe or anything else at this point. And much of my thoughts and what actually happened in those days is slightly blurred, to say the least. They're distorted. But I remember well the day that the staff in the Lantern had decided that I was unable to stay on the ward and that I was going to have to go to intensive care. I remember being taken down in the bed to intensive care, going in and out of consciousness and crying like a child, and they were talking about intubating me, and I remember crying and pleading with them not to do that. I felt at that point, if they did that I was never going home again. I remember well that that doctor that looked after me for my time there, thank God for him. But remember, he put me on the CPAP mask that everybody hears of nowadays. An awful thing to be on. But remember, well, you know what, even after my time in the ICU, remember that doctor having a conversation with him, and remember him saying everything. He was over 30 years a doctor in the health service, and everything told him to intubate me, but that night he didn't. I'm so thankful to God for answering that prayer for me. It would have been a harrowing experience, one that I wouldn't have desired or known for that matter. While in ICU, it's not somewhere that any of us want to find ourselves in. It really is an awful place. An awful place for those that work in it too. Which we're so thankful to God for the nurses and doctors that he puts in these places to look after us when we need them. But I remember well one night in ICU, I remember I did feel that death was coming. It was something that I was expecting to happen to me. I couldn't breathe. I knew I was very unwell, and things began to overwhelm me, and I felt just as though I was suffocating to death. And that's the only way I can describe it tonight. And I was fearful. I was fearful to die. I'm saved, but I was fearful to die. I was fearful of leaving those that I love behind. And I remember lying in that place, somewhere that is completely alien, somewhere that you don't feel particularly comfortable in. But I remember that night crying out to God to come and draw alongside me. And you might say that's a strange thing for a Christian to say. Well, sometimes when you're put through these things, it's maybe only then that you might understand. But I remember praying to God, crying out to him just to come alongside me. I needed him. As I thought I was leaving this scene of time, I didn't doubt for a moment that I was saved. There's no stage that I doubt that I was saved. But I confess, I was worried. I was at the very lowest point of my life, and there's no doubt in my mind that death was not too far away. And I remember just crying out to God to come alongside me. You know, I can never stand here long enough to explain to you what God did for me that night. I believe God answered prayer. I believe God answered the prayers of my family and my friends. And God came alongside me, and the peace that I experienced that night, as like I say, I can never describe it to you as I stand here. My soul was crying out to God, and he answered. And I remember well the peace as I lay there in intensive care. And I would have to say, as I stand here, and God is my judge, I was happy. I was happy to pass away from this scene of time. I was happy to leave behind that feeling of suffocating. I had a thirst because of the mask. I don't know what hell is like tonight, friends. I don't know what it's like. I praise God I'll never experience it. But all I could say is what I was experiencing was hell here on earth. It was awful. I thank God that he never leaves us. No matter where we find ourselves in this life, he'll never leave us. And I'm thankful to God that I was started on a trial drug at that point, and things thankfully began to improve for me. I spent, I think it was 8 days in intensive care, and it wasn't long until I was moved back up onto the ward again and started to make a recovery. You know, whenever things start going good, sure, it's not always the way the devil likes to come alongside, and he doesn't belong with bringing you down. And I would say probably my emotions and everything else were at its lowest. I was probably very vulnerable to the attack of Satan. And I remember well Satan coming alongside as I started to make mend, and coming alongside to me, and I was thinking to myself, I was some boy. I was happy to leave my children. I was happy to leave Allison. I was happy to leave everything behind just to go to heaven to be with God. And I remember it played on my mind. And maybe there was probably the amount of drugs that were in me and everything else, but I struggled greatly with it, and it really upset me at the time. I remember well, on one occasion, there was a girl who worked on the ward, and I'd known Ruth for a lifetime, and Ruth had been my nurse there in the ward, and it was lovely just to have someone who was a Christian. And I remember Ruth went over, way over and above. At that point, no family could get in, or nobody could get in to see me or anything else. And I remember Ruth would have sat and she'd have talked to me, and she brought me in a Bible. And I remember well, after I came out of intensive care, Ruth coming into the wee ward, and I had been blubbering, let's say, and I was very, very annoyed with myself. I remember saying to Ruth, you know, I can't understand this. And I remember sharing with her the experiences that I was having. And, you know, sometimes whenever we're not thinking straight, the answers aren't that far away. But I remember Ruth saying to me, you know, if you ask God for his peace there in the intensive care ward, why would he have given you thoughts that would have troubled you? Thoughts of Alison, thoughts of the children. God gave you his peace. He answered your prayer. You know, I thank God for Ruth. She was a great strength to me in those days. I remember it wasn't long after that that I deteriorated again. And I remember well that the consultant had come in and they were preparing me for intensive care again. And, well, what can you say? I was broken. And there was a girl called Esther worked in the ward. I think Esther thought I had gone mad. But I remember just lying there. They put me on these old masks again and all the rest of it. And I remember, well, the wee chorus came into my mind. I hadn't heard this from Youth Fellowship days. It says, let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hands, rest secure in his plans. Let the Lord have his way. I remember well, lying on my stomach, all kitted up with these wires coming out of me. And I remember trying to sing that. And I remember singing it 4 or 5 times in between gulping for air. But you know, that day, that was the prayer of my heart. I remember well some of the nurses and doctors saying, Derek, keep fighting. You're a real fighter. You're this, you're that, and the other. Do you know something, friends? It was nothing of me at all. I was doing nothing. But what I did come to realize there in that bed, do you know what? It was all of the Lord. I was, whether I came home, whether I didn't come home, this was God's plan. It was a perfect plan. And I could rest secure in those plans that he had made for me. I remember well, they took the bloods, etc. And as they prepared me for ICU, I remember Esther coming in and saying, Derek, she'd waken me up. I'd fallen asleep again. She'd waken me up. She said, Derek, you know, you don't have to go to ICU. Things have come back and things are better than the thought. And, you know, I thank God for that moment. That changed everything around for me. Those following days, I began to gain strength. I had to learn to walk again, had to do so much again. But you know, God was with me through it all. I remember whenever I would at this stage perhaps spoken to Alison on the phone, there's something that probably I took for granted, a bit like a lot of things. Friend, if you're a believer sitting in the meeting tonight, you're not alone. I remember I phoned Alison and yes, God's with us, but you know, I remember Alison being able to tell me of people from all parts of the world who would have been sending her messages to say they were praying for me. As a Christian tonight, we're part of a wonderful family. A family who should care for each other, who should love each other. A family who should pray for each other when those troubles and trials come into our lives. I don't want to take up any more time here tonight. But there's one question I want to ask you tonight just as I sit down. In the storms of life, when things don't go the way you've planned it, when there seems to be no hope, who do you turn to? I wonder tonight, has each one in the meeting a genuine faith in God? I can testify tonight that God, if you fully trust in him, no matter what valley comes your way, he'll go through it with you. You don't go through it alone, friend. I can stand and I can testify to his faithfulness tonight. God is faithful. We have a faithful God. I'm very aware of the problems people face. Very aware of them. It might be death. Maybe there's a death in your family recently. Maybe it's sickness, breakups, something else. I don't know. If you're saved tonight, Christian, hold to God's word. Hold on to God. Don't give up. Because God will go through it with us. But friend, tonight, if you don't know him as your Savior, I would ask you to consider whenever those troubles come, whenever death comes, and perhaps it might be your death, I can relate to times where it has been difficult, times where my life could have been taken. But my life one day will end. My life will one day be taken. I don't know when it'll be. It might be 2021. It might be next year. I don't know. But there's one thing I'm sure of. Whenever I close my eyes in death, I will be with God. Because of that time and that day and that place that I put my trust in Him for salvation, God saved me for eternity, friend. And tonight, if it was to be you, if tonight it was you to be taken to hospital, for whatever that reason might be, and you were to die, I wonder where you will spend eternity. I pray something tonight that I have said will cause you to think about eternity. Charles Spurgeon said that the promises of God never shine so brightly as in the furnace of affliction. I pray tonight, child of God, that you'll be encouraged. You'll be encouraged to continue to walk with God. Perhaps you've been praying for a loved one, an unwell loved one, perhaps an unsaved loved one. Keep praying on. And remember, you are part of God's family. We should be here for each other. As children of God, we should be here for each other. Thank you for your time, and I pray that God will bless you. Thank you.
This evening we want to, on your behalf, thank Derek very sincerely for coming and sharing with us his life story. The Lord certainly has helped him. It can't have been easy, difficult to recall hard and difficult times, and yet he gave God the glory tonight. He rejoiced in what God did for him and through him. And through the life of Derek Preston tonight, you see there's a God worth serving. There's a Saviour worth knowing. Do you know him tonight? Is he your Saviour? As Derek has left the challenge with you, where will you be in God's eternity? You go through hard times in your life. How do you face them? How do you deal with them? You do what Derek did, turned and just trusted all the more in the Lord. Because he is a friend that will never leave you, never forsake you. If you don't know him tonight, then we urge you, we plead with you, come. Come to know him. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never turn you away. He'll be that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. God's grace is always sufficient. And surely tonight we have listened as Derek has related his testimony. The grace of God was sufficient for him. And it'll be sufficient for you as well. Trust him tonight. Let's bow in prayer. And this evening, just before we sing our closing hymn, again we want to say a very sincere word of thanks to Derek for coming. I believe the Lord has been here tonight in a very real way. The Lord has been amongst us. The Lord has given help. But tonight, how is it with you? In a very real way, Derek faced death, but he faced it with gospel hope. How do you face it? You face it with Christ, with hope. If not, come tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for a very particular sense of thy presence. God, we thank thee tonight for a day in Derek's life when you saved him. We thank the Lord for even that man who brought him and his family along to church, that link in the chain in bringing Derek to the Savior. And Lord, we thank thee this evening for all that you've done for him. We thank the Lord for all the way you've led him. And we thank the Lord for how you've given him help this evening. Lord, as he has related to us of those times in his life when situations were dark. Yet, O God, we thank thee that you were with him. You answered prayer. We thank the Lord you never failed him. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening through Derek's testimony that someone will come to know Derek Preston's Savior as well. Lord, that this night they'll cry unto Thee. Lord, that they might realize that without Christ there is no hope. And, oh God, we thank Thee tonight that in Christ, because of Christ, there is hope. May someone this evening leave their sin and run to Christ. Oh God, we pray that tonight You'd speak. Continue to bless Derek and Allison and their family. In the days that lie ahead, strengthen them. Make them, Lord, trophies of grace. Continue, Lord, to bless them. Use them in Thy service. Lord, we pray that they might know much of the goodness and the nearness of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that through everything that has been said and done tonight, may Thy name, and Thy name alone, be glorified. Answer prayer in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn to close and ask the question, will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? And the strong tides lift the cable strain. Will your anchor drift or firm remain? I trust that tonight, if you don't have that anchor, which is Christ, that even tonight you'd come and put your faith and trust in Him. We'll stand together as we sing this closing hymn, please. Remain standing for prayer this evening. If you do not have your hope anchored in Christ, then you come to Him tonight. You'd like to speak to myself. Maybe you'd like to speak to Derek, and I'm sure he'd only be too happy to speak with you. Come and speak with him. tonight, come to Christ. Most important thing. The thing you need to do is come to Him and get right with Him this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for a sense of Thy presence. We can truly say it has been good for us to have been here, because the Lord has been in the house tonight. And Lord, we pray that tonight You'll speak on. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for how You've spoken through Derek, for how You've used him this evening. And, oh God, we pray that tonight someone in this meeting will come, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they might have that anchor sure and steadfast in Him. Lord, we pray that You'll just be pleased now to part us in the fear and the blessing of Almighty God. Lord, as we travel home, keep Your hand upon us, we pray. But, oh God, we pray that someone this evening, may they leave this place different to how they come in. May they leave with Christ in their heart. Answer prayer and be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.